My name's Tim. I'm an addict. I guess I'll start with getting the basics out of the way. I got a clean date. It's December 4th, 2009. I got a sponsor, Drew M. in the back. He's got a sponsor. Who's got a sponsor? We worked the 12 Steps in Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm in service. Something like that, you know what I mean? I'd also like to thank CPRCNA for asking me to be of service. I've been coming to this convention since I got clean. It's my sixth year here. It's something I really look forward to doing. Yeah, man. I got the privilege of serving last year. Central Maryland hosted it, and I definitely recommend that if you guys have the opportunity to be of service to the convention, it's a good experience. It's a shitload of work, so thanks to anybody, you know what I mean, who's been of service this year. The other thing I want to bring up real quick, you know, and thank is, I guess just recognize, you know what I mean, all of our friends and sponsees and family members and brothers and sisters that died just this past 2 months. You know, and I've seen people die in the rooms, but like these past 2 months I lost like two of my friends, you know what I mean? People I knew real well, both guys that had years clean time, 26 and 23 years old. And, you know, our reading says that, acts today are more fortunate. You know what I mean? I got a shot today. Like back in the day, I don't know what they did with people like me. I guess they like banished us or some shit, like lepers or something. I mean, there was nothing for us to do. They got nothing for us, you know? Today we're more fortunate, man. And I know that, you know, they say, some must die for others to live. And I know that my seat today, you know what I mean? I'm grateful for it. And, you know, I just want to remember those guys because they mean something to me. The topic, man, I've tried to think, thought a whole lot about what I was going to say. I don't usually do that before I share. Just kidding. I always fucking spend like hours trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to say. My sponsor said, did you write anything down? I was like, come on, bro. I did too, probably. I had like a whole script written, but then I stood up here and you know how it is. So, but I was thinking about, you know, the last few days of my using before I got here, you know, and reflecting back and keeping that pain up front because, you know, life gets good and I forget, like, why I'm fucking standing here sometimes. I try not to, but sometimes, you know, week to week, I'm not thinking about what happened to me, you know, and you know, my last few days, I was on a three-day run, a heavy run, and I remember, and I was just telling the story outside, but sitting in my car, and I'm going to talk about drugs. So I know some people don't, but I do, you know what I mean? I was shooting coke, and so I was days in, and every time I was in this parking lot at like 2 a.m., and every time I turned my head, the street lamp was a car driving by. And I just remember sitting there and just being like, wow, and trying to catch this car, you know? And being like in a state of psychosis, you know what I mean? Losing touch with reality. And I believed it was there. Even the person next to me was like, stop, you know what I mean? There's no car. And when I came to, like, the next day or whatever, or however many days later I came to, and what I remember from those last few days, and what kind of stuck with me is, like, I did a lot of drugs those days, man, and in the end, like, it didn't matter how much I could take a lot, you know, I could do a lot of shit, you know, I couldn't do enough in the end, you know what I mean, I couldn't stop it, I couldn't stop what I knew was happening, I couldn't stop the pain, I couldn't stop the thoughts. It used to work. It used to be a relief. I used to know when I got it in that I'd be free for that second, for those 10 seconds, 10 minutes or whatever, you know? And in the end, man, I couldn't find, you know, I couldn't get there. And so, yeah, you know, and that was like, you know, the literature talks about, you know, we can't live with or without drugs. And that was that for me, you know? I honestly thought it was the end of my life because I didn't know anything else. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know, like, how people are people or how they get jobs or have relationships or do anything, man. All I knew was that. You know, I got clean 2 months before I turned 21. You know, I got clean pretty young. I'm 26 today. And, you know, for me, like, that's all I did. And, you know, I blew every opportunity that was ever presented to me. You know, I'm a half-decent-looking person. I'm intelligent. I'm likable. I was athletic. I had every opportunity to succeed in life, you know? And just from such a young age, man, I just couldn't belong. I couldn't feel like you and me connected. Until I found a bunch of other people that didn't belong, you know what I mean? Then we were cool, you know? Then I was like, all right, let's chase some highs. And that's what I did. And I got to that place, man, where I reached... You know, I got powerless. You know, I got excuse me, I got to a place where I understood what the hell powerless meant, you know? I'd heard it a lot of times. I've been in treatment since I was like 17, and I heard that word, I heard the steps, and I just didn't know what the fuck it meant, you know? Sorry for the language, but... yeah, man, I learned it. I learned what it meant. It meant that, like, and that last run was my last experiment of, like, this shit's gonna work. I'm gonna do it this time. You know what I mean? I'm gonna shoot dope Saturday, Sunday. That's it. You know what I mean? And then I'm gonna live my life. I'm gonna shoot dope on Saturday and Sunday. And, like, the denial's so strong. You know, the disease talks in my own voice. I look back through my whole life, and that was never what happened. It, like, didn't matter. Like, someone could be like, Tim, here's, like, a whole video of your fucking life. It doesn't work that way, and I'd still be like, nah, like, it's gonna work. I promise it's gonna work. You know, finally in the end, man, I knew it didn't work, and that's what that powerless meant. And I really feel like those first couple days clean that I kind of internalized that first step before I ever wrote it down in the book. You know, I knew that I couldn't do it. I couldn't use just one. And so that kind of gets me to what I want to talk about a little bit for the topic for the newcomers, like, is the second step, right? Which is, like, one of the most, like, the most powerful step, because it's the reason why I kept coming back. It's the reason why I did it, you know, and the first step just had me standing there like, fuck, you know, like, this shit doesn't work anymore, you know what I mean? I can't get high, and now what do I do, you know? And I heard a guy come lead my home group in Beltsville, Central Maryland. That's where I'm from. It's a great place. Come visit. But he came and led my home group, and he was sharing about how he came in and out and in and out. And his sponsor had gotten to know his sisters, and they asked him, like, how are we going to know when he's going to stay clean? And they were like, you're not going to know. He's like, he won't stay clean until he comes to believe. And this was just like a month ago, man, and that stuck with me, because it was that coming to believe. It was that finding hope. It was that believing that the shit y'all were saying was real, that it could apply to me, that I could stay clean. You know what I mean? That I didn't have to go back. That's why I stayed clean. I mean, that's why I'm standing here today. That started me to, you know, moving forward in the process. And it's something that I think, you know, it's just so important. The little sayings like you never have to use again, you know? Like, just keep coming back and it gets better, you know? Like, just telling me in the beginning that everything's going to be okay, you know? I didn't think everything was going to be okay ever, you know? I just knew, like, a black cloud was following me, and, like, shit was going downhill. It always was. And just starting to believe that, like, holy shit, man, maybe everything's going to be okay. You know, maybe I'm going to be all right. And that really started me off into my step work, man, and into being of service. I'm so grateful for where I'm at today. I'm in, like, a healthier place today where I'm feeling that hope again. It's been a while, man. You know, I've been in recovery, I've been in the process, but when I go up and down, I go, like, way down sometimes, man. I, like, pick my step work up, like, once every 6 months, and I get to live through a whole ton of pain, you know, because I'm not willing to grow. But, like, where I'm at today, you know, I have that connection again with my God. I can feel it, you know. I know that it's real. I'm praying on a daily basis. I know he's got my back today again, you know? I know that no matter what happens, and I mean no matter what, I mean that, like, I lose the job, I go bankrupt, I lose my girl, my house, like, I lose everything, I'm good still, you know what I mean? If I don't use, I know my God's got my back. If my mom dies, right, if I lose something, like, the most important person in my life, man, I had 2 years clean, my mom got diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, I was 23 years old. I swear, I didn't know, I mean... If you had said that to me when I got clean, I'd be like, I'm not staying clean. That, you know, that's the only person that's held me down the whole time, you know? And through that shit, man, y'all kept me clean. Y'all held me down. Holy shit, you know? Like, holy shit. I'm still clean today, man. And for me, I'm a real emotional person, you know? And that was real hard. I remember driving. I'm from Pennsylvania. And I remember... I hope I'm not talking too fast. I'm going to say everything I got to say and then be stuck standing here. thanks. But I was driving to Pennsylvania after I got the phone call, you know, and they said, you know, she's gone. And my sponsor, and this is at, like, pretty late at night, and it was like a 3-hour drive, but that dude stayed on the phone with me for, like, the whole ride. the entire ride up there just to make sure I got there safe, you know. I mean, to me, that's what Narcotics Anonymous is to me, you know. That's who y'all are, you know. You are the realest people, the truest friends I've ever had in my life. I mean, I didn't even know what that shit meant at one point in life. I didn't know what somebody, like, I was all nervous about doing this shit, and I was like, I already knew that all my friends are going to go to eat with me after this meeting, no matter what the fuck I say, you know? They love me for my true self. They don't love me for who I pretend to be or who I think I am. I don't need to love you for who you think you are, you know? I just try to be myself, and the programs help me, you know, shed the skin. You know, the masks have to go. And I'm just grateful for, you know, for the process and getting to where I am today, you know? The seventh step, man, and I know it's a for the newcomer, but, like, the seventh step has given me a deeper level of freedom than I've ever known on this earth, you know? It's got me to, like, and I like the clarity statement because, you know, there's one disease, you know? I got one disease, and it shows up everywhere, you know? It shows up with, like, how she makes me feel. It shows up with, like, the things I like to do with my free time, the things I like to do with my money. And so, like, today, like, I'm in a place where, like, I don't have to do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I want to do something and I know it's a bad idea, I don't have to do it. There's a time in my recovery where if I wanted to do it and it wasn't using, I probably was going to fucking do it. And I hurt people and I hurt myself and I made decisions I would have, you know, I wouldn't make today. And you know, just to be in a place where I'm free from that, I can surrender. I can surrender it all, you know. I can surrender my wants. I can surrender my defects, my shortcomings. My fears, man, fucking A. I think about the future and it's like, you know what I mean? It scares the shit out of me still. I don't know what I'm going to do. I still don't know what adult is. I'm a living adult now because y'all showed me how to do it. But, you know, of myself, in my own mind, I can't fathom it. So, you know, today, because of my God and because of, you know, the evidence, I heard Basil say one time, man, that his God was evidence-based fuck, that's my truth. My God has already proven himself to me. My God is real. I know he's real. I'm standing here right now. You know what I mean? It's real. You know, it's not, in the beginning they were like, don't commit these sins and say this and you get into heaven, you know? Like, that wasn't real to me, you know? But this shit's real to me. I don't know how much more I have to keep going for. 8 more minutes. Alright. No, I can go. I can probably make some stuff up for a couple minutes. No, but like, you know, the one, and she said it last night. The main speaker said it last night, and it's one of my favorite pieces of the literature that I have memorized. I don't have a lot of them memorized, but it's in that fifth tradition, you know, and it says that any addict, like holy, you know what I mean? Like anyone, you're not too sick. You know, you can't be too sick. We put it real clear. There's no one too sick. Any addict can stop using and lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. And then, I mean, and I, like I said, I'm an emotional person, man. I think about this shit in the car, I'll cry driving. But, you know what I mean? Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. You know what I mean? That says that all we got for you, and actually this brings up a story I can talk about. I mean, all we got for you is this process, and all we can guarantee you is being free. My little sister called me, right? And you know, the disease runs through my family, like a lot of our families, you know. I'm the fourth of six children, so I got a bunch of siblings. But my younger sister calls me and tells me that she's been addicted to Adderall for like the last 3 years of college and that she's like getting to a place where she can't stop and doesn't know what to do. And it was awesome to have her reach out to me, you know, and to have her like recognize she's got a problem because I feel like my mom always looked at my siblings and their fuck ups and they're like, well, he's not him. You know what I mean? He's not shooting dope in the basement. He hasn't sold off all our shit. You know what I mean? Like, they're good. You know what I mean? My mom used to say that. She'd be like, no, Sean's doing good, my younger brother. And he'd be like, have like 3 charges pending and like crashed a car. And I'm like, I mean, whatever you got to say. But she called me and we had this real, you know, real honest conversation. And I told her about my experience, and she related to me a little bit. And, you know, and I think she expected me to have something else to say, you know, something more, like some kind of, this is all you got to, you know? But I was like, you got to go to a meeting raise your hand, say you're new, and ask for help, you know? And it was weird to say that to my family member, but, like, that's all my, our, you know what I mean? All I can say is I promise you'll be free, you know what I mean? But only if you do this, you know? It only works if I'm willing to do work. Today, that's my truth, because I've been doing work, I've been showing up, and like I said, man, I'm more free today than I ever have been. I just want to thank everyone for showing me how to live. You know, I grew up around here, and it was y'all people that showed me, you know, that raised me, you know? And I don't know. Love you all. Thanks for letting me share.